Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Put this picture in your head of Jesus walking along, followed by his disciples, the whole big crowd of them, all very excited and delighted in Jesus. And he turns around to all of them and he says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." I just have this picture of them looking at him like, "What? What did you just say? Are you crazy?" I know I certainly have that reaction myself. Because really we think of Christianity as a sort of nice religion. I mean, week after week we talk about love and peace and caring for everyone and that the world is filled with darkness and we bring light, and yet Jesus turns around and lays this on them. "Unless you carry my cross, you cannot follow." For the last 20 years, or a little longer, within Christian circles, there's been a huge emphasis on something called family values. I think you all know about it. Most of us really think it's kind of a fine thing that we should be good to each other and that we should care for our families and that children and grandchildren and all of that should come pretty high in our priority. And Jesus lays out something altogether different. Because he realizes that, first of all, there's something pretty easy about all of that, isn't there? I mean, how hard is it to figure out that you should be kind to your children? I had a conversation with my mom this weekend as we were going downtown through Chinatown and discussing what it was to become more elderly. Not that you are, Mom. But I've said for years that you ought to be kind to your children, because it is they who will pick your retirement home. Something about family dynamics. I mean, it seems fairly clear how the world ought to go, and Jesus crashes it down. You see, we've got this thing also about Christianity ought to be a low threshold religion. It should be easy to become a Christian, right? It's maybe as easy as it is to become a parent, depending on your perspective. But you know, we don't want to have too many obstacles to people loving Jesus, do we? Right? That's what the evangelism thing is all about. We ought to make it easy to find our churches, and we should do lots of advertising, and in the end, we should make everyone feel really welcome. I'm all for it. And the problem is, it doesn't go very far, and Jesus is clear about it. I remember years ago I did some consulting with a church whose biggest question was whether or not they should put a cross in the church, because non-Christians would find it offensive. So do the Christians. Well, I think what Jesus is proposing in this gospel is anything but low threshold and anything but easy. It's a challenging, challenging word for us. The word that's used for hate in this particular gospel, that we should hate our father and mother, is not the kind of hate that we would use, you know, despise, but rather put away, put off. What Christ calls us to is a radical obedience, a radical singularity of purpose in our lives, where Christ is at the center, and from that center flows life itself. In the text in Deuteronomy, God lays it out. I have set before you life and death. On the one hand, you can choose this, or on the other hand, you can choose that. But I urge you to choose life. And in the same way, Jesus says, you have a choice. And that's what's so beautiful about being alive and being human, is that you always have a choice. And Jesus says, if you choose to take up my cross, then it has consequences. Nothing else can be first. And that's hard for us to hear in a time and an age where we believe we ought to have a choice about everything. Everything. And that it ought to be the choice between two good things. Pie or ice cream. This is a lot harder. Dietrich Bonhoeffer addresses it in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, which is one of my favorite volumes. He writes, if Jesus says to someone, leave everything you have behind and follow me, resign your profession, quit your family, your people, and the home of your fathers, then he knew that this call was to only one answer, that there's only one answer to this call, singular obedience. And that it is only to this obedience that the promise of fellowship with Jesus is given. But we should probably argue thus. Of course we are meant to take on the call of Jesus with absolute seriousness. I love that phrase. It's very Christian. But after all, the true way of obedience would be to continue all the more in our present occupations, to stay with our families, and serve him there in a spirit of true inward detachment. I love that. If Jesus challenged us with the command, go out of it, get out of it, we should take him to mean, stay where you are, but cultivate that inward detachment. And again, if he were to say to us, be not anxious, we would take him to mean, of course it is not wrong for us to be anxious. We must work and provide for ourselves and our dependents. If we did not, we would be shirking our responsibilities. But all the time, we ought to be inwardly free from all anxiety. The notion of inward spirituality without an external expression is sort of what I refer to as Christianity light. The issue isn't, you see, in the end for those folks, that I have any sort of real price for what I believe, but rather that in me somewhere is a moment of peace. We confuse our own spiritual satisfaction with discipleship, and they aren't the same thing, Jesus says. Discipleship is public and difficult, and it isn't something that's laid on us. It's something we take up. For the past 20 years, I've heard lots of conversion stories, some of them powerful stories, about emergence from addiction, from poverty, from difficult family situations, and that in finding Christ, all of those things became better in folks' lives. And those are great stories. And they talk about the crosses that they bore in order to get to where they are today. But Jesus calls for something far more radical. This isn't a cross that has been laid on us, addiction or poverty, abuse. Those aren't voluntary. This is so much harder to reject all of the things that hold us back, all of the things that possess us, to voluntarily give them up That's discipleship. It's not like my Lenten promise to give up Brussels sprouts. It's giving up what is most precious to us, the things that matter the most to us, that which gives us life, we think, that which makes us feel worthy, in order to encounter Christ authentically, not just inside, but outside. I think in this gospel, Christ proposes discipleship and church that is anything but low threshold. It's hard and difficult and powerful and deep, because it calls us out of our own comfort to bring comfort to the world, to give up what we love the most so that we can experience the most love. It calls us to hate father and mother, to put away father and mother and brother and sister and lover, so that we can be loved most deeply. And that in that moment of discipleship, of following Christ, we experience all of that stuff in a new way. Mother and brother, father and sister are seen through the eyeglasses of God's love. The world is for us transformed through the light of Christ. Without it, we're just sand, lifeless and tasteless. But in Christ, in discipleship and in following Jesus, we're presented with the rich complexity of the flavor of life that is God. So when we go out from this place, we have, as was so aptly put in Deuteronomy, a choice: to choose life or to choose death. God calls us in this gospel to choose life. Amen.